Alrighty, welcome back everybody to the Trade Writers Podcast, the comic book club where we read a different trade paperback every single week. I'm Daniel, you're Nathan, we're brothers, and we read spooky comics.
We read so
every
many
single week.
Spooky comics for spooky month.
Yeah. It's National Comic Book Day, did you know that?
It is National Comic Book Day, I only know that because our aunt texted us.
Did she text you?
Yeah, she did. And she was like, it's comic book day, and I'm like, I had no idea. So as of recording,
I was like, it's also National Quesadilla Day.
Yeah. And I celebrated, let me tell you. I mean, this will...
At time
of
recording.
When this comes out, it'll be past, but Saturday's also local comic shop day. So if you didn't go to your local comic shop last Saturday, if you're listening to this the week it came out, then you're a piece of shit.
Wait, so...
This Saturday.
For us, not when this episode comes out.
When this comes out, it's already passed. And the listeners who didn't go to their local comic shop on local comic shop day are pieces of shit.
Yeah, because like I guess
I probably won't go
right
either,
now, if you went last weekend, that was just Batman Day.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
If you went on Batman Day or local comic shop day, that's cool too.
I'm going to go on neither. So
you're not going to go? So you're a piece of shit?
I'm a piece of shit. Well, I gave him fucking $30 this week, dude. I think they got enough for me.
Yeah. You go every week.
Yeah.
You're good.
Dude, my shop's going to have Tony Fleeks, the local man artist.
Okay, cool. Dude, you keep telling me about all these people that are coming, and then you don't tell me when they come, and then we miss them.
True.
And it's very toxic of you.
I'm going to go for Jeff Lemire and Patton Oswalt when they come. Not together.
But yeah, you need to fucking let me know.
I will let you know.
If you go without me, I'll disown you.
I'm going to go without you and get my Black Hammer 1 signed, and then keep it.
We'd have to end the podcast.
That would actually be...
I can't look at you in the face anymore.
I would understand.
I'll go with you and you can get that shit signed.
Yeah, that's at least a little bit better.
Be like, can you believe he won't give me this?
We make him decide who gets to keep it.
Exactly. Be like, I'll ask him to quiz me on Black Hammer Universe.
Dude, I will study.
I will obliterate you.
I doubt he has just like random trivia about his own comics.
You could ask random stuff, just like characters and shit that happens.
Okay, that's fair.
And you will lose. But anyway, then we got different time codes in our description. We got the book, which is deceased.
Deceased, like DC, like the company, but also like death.
Like deceased.
Like deceased.
And we got Back Matter Matters in the poll list, but we start with the news. What news you got this week?
Oh my god. Big news.
What news don't we have?
What news don't we have is correct.
Deadpool and Wolverine ongoing series, Nathan.
Yeah.
From Ben Percy and Josh Cassara.
Dude, that's a team you need to fucking read.
Where is Josh Cassara from?
Josh Cassara is... I know him from the most recent X-Force. Not the most... Sorry. The X-Force before the most recent one.
Okay.
Which was the Krakoan era one. And it was fucking unbelievable.
Wow.
I actually think we should read it. Like, okay. It's good. It was like the X series that I was following the longest, up to like issue 25 or something. And I did not last that long on like Hickman X-Men or like any of the other offshoots that they had.
Was Ben Percy writing that too?
Ben Percy was writing that one. So this is a good duo, and Cassara does some crazy shit, so definitely gonna be picking this one up. Daniel, you remember how last week I was like, Grant Morrison's going to be an Ice Cream Man.
Yeah.
You know who else is maybe going to be an Ice Cream Man, but they haven't elaborated yet?
Chip Zdarsky, Patton Oswalt.
Is Chip Zdarsky going to be on it too?
I don't know. I just threw that out there.
That makes sense. He came out with a Creepshow issue today.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So.
Well, he's...
That's pretty cool. I mean, it's not confirmed that
he's one of the writers on it.
Yeah.
There's only like three in there.
It's not confirmed that what they're teasing is Ice Cream Man, but it has ice cream in the background with Ice Cream Man colors. So, like, one can only assume.
Nathan, you like The Bad Batch?
I haven't checked it out yet.
The animated Star Wars show?
In theory, I like it.
Well, you can check it out in comic form, because Dark Horse will be publishing a Bad Batch series, : Ghost Agents.
Cool.
Coming January 25th.
Who's on the art?
I don't know. I didn't write it down, which probably means that I didn't recognize them, and therefore maybe you wouldn't recognize them.
That is typically what that means, yeah.
So,
Daniel Two-Face is getting his first ever solo series.
He sure is.
Coming December of this year, written by Christian Ward.
December 4th.
With art by Fabio Veras. Not sure who that artist is, but Two-Face is a big part of Christian Ward's written and drawn Black Label Batman run, City of Madness. And he did some pretty cool shit with him.
Nice.
It's kind of surprising he's never had his own solo series.
Yeah, because we like looked into it for our 222nd.
We tried to do a Two-Face thing. I forgot about that.
Episode. So we'll have to wait for our 2,222nd episode.
Yeah, okay. We'll write that down now so we don't forget.
There'll be a trade by then.
Yeah.
Nathan, speaking of new DC series.
So many new ones.
Metamorpho, the Element Man.
Oh my God, I'm so excited for this.
Written by Al Ewing and Steve Lieber.
Dude, thank God Steve Lieber is back.
Coming Christmas.
Doing it, yeah, Christmas. Man, what a gift. Steve Lieber we know from All-Star Squadron, probably one of my favorite books that we've read that I wasn't sure if I was going to like, but Steve Lieber is fucking great in that. He's also in that Jimmy Olsen series. Tons of stuff.
Look at this fucking Ian Bertram cover.
Whoa. Wait, he's doing a cover for this?
Yeah.
Dude, this guy's the GOAT.
Isn't that fucking sick?
He's so good. He posts his pencils too. Like, ooh, a legend. That's awesome.
I'm like, I'll pay $100 for that. I don't care what it is. I just want it so bad.
$100? He's selling it for more, surely.
No. Not the fucking...
Oh, the book
the
itself.
The print, but like for the cover.
to bid $100 on like a piece of art that's probably at least worth
$2,000. I'll give you $100.
I would pay $100 for that.
I'll give you all the money in my bank account. Which is $56.
Yes. Yeah, I'm really excited for that. I think that's a good-ass team. Who's writing it again? I forget.
Al Ewing.
That guy's got some hits.
Yeah.
I look forward to it.
He's good on a solo miniseries.
Yep. Also part of December solicits, we have Green Lantern, Green Arrow, World's Finest special coming from Jeremy Adams, writer of Green Lantern right now.
Yawn.
So that's pretty cool. Can't wait for that. Art by Lucas Meyer. Not sure who that is.
And some 2025 news.
Okay.
We're getting Sonic X Justice League.
Oh, I saw this.
Coming March.
This looks so good.
By Ian Flynn. I don't know anything else about it.
He is the writer of the Sonic the Hedgehog comic.
Ooh.
So they're getting a Sonic head on this. And it's like, they like...
Like crossovers? Like they have like,
it's not like
outfits on and shit?
It's like an amalgamation thing, I think. Like Shadow's going to be Batman and like Sonic is going to be the Flash.
Yeah.
Tails is going to be Green Lantern, I think.
No, Tails is Cyborg.
He is?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. That's pretty cool.
Which seems like whitewashing.
I never thought I'd buy a Sonic comic, but I think we need to buy some Sonic comic.
I think so.
We should, yeah.
It's time.
He's got lots of comics,
time to break in.
Yeah, time to break in. They got me. So yeah, kind of excited about that.
Bit of movie news, Nathan.
Yep.
We got a Thunderbolts trailer.
Oh, yeah.
Did you watch that?
I did.
Pretty neat.
It's okay.
Might look good. Might be good. Might be bad. Good.
Yeah.
But I think I'm more not as optimistic. Much.
Yeah, I think this, yeah, same. Because... when that roster comes out, you're like, okay. And then you see this and you're like, all right.
Yeah.
You know? So we'll see.
I guess Ghost and Taskmaster are like on this team.
Yeah.
But I get them mixed up.
They do look similar. If you just make Taskmaster's face more skull, it'd be very easy to determine the two.
If they give him like a, give her like a blue or something hood. That help. They're also bland looking.
They are that they pretty all... bland, like military looking.
Yeah, and
suits.
It's boring. And then the color that there is, it's like very muted.
Dude, it's like old X-Men muted.
Yeah,
because like Red Guardian isn't in anything red. You know, White Widow.
I mean, Red Guardian is wearing some red, but it's like a dirty red. Like,
yeah,
I want like Hellboy red. You know?
I know. Yeah, make them pop. Make anybody pop in this thing, dude. Look dumb. Everybody's as fuck. So monochrome and like. I don't know.
They think that's what the people want.
I think that is what they think.
I know like Taskmaster got like a lot of shit for the last costume, but like if that was the suit, then at least you'd be able to tell them apart, you know?
I kind of liked the Taskmaster.
From Black Widow?
From Black Widow.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
When they went with the skull stuff, because there's a part of it where they didn't, I think.
Mm.
I can't remember that movie very much, but I think Florence Pugh will carry a lot of that.
Definitely.
She's pretty charismatic in that character, so she's kind of working with very little, but doing a lot, it seems like.
Right.
So, we'll see.
Kyle Chandler as Hal Jordan?
Oh, yeah. I did see this.
How you feel about that?
I'm tied. I'm a big Green Lantern fan.
You're tied?
I'm tied on it. I don't know, like... Or torn, I should say, I think.
I'm like...
I'm tied down.
What side's gonna win?
Like, it's not who I would have picked. I don't have, like, a fan cast or anything, but I see that... And I see that the direction that they're going is, like, older, which is fine. But anything I've ever seen Kyle Chandler in, he's just been like douchey, but not in like a confident kind of like Green Lantern douchey. He's kind of like a loser kind of douchey, I guess.
He'll be good for like old Hal.
So I think what they're going to do is it'll be like a Hal that's like past his prime maybe.
Yeah.
And hopefully ushering in maybe like a newer generation. But it's the whole thing's supposed to be like...
I think John Stewart's supposed to be in it.
I hope that he's at least like a younger, I guess. Like there's room for them to make this work, but it's not the Hal that I think I was probably envisioning. So
right,
we'll see what they do with it. But yeah, he seems like a little bit older than what I thought that they were going to try and go for. So we'll see.
He was in a...
It's supposed to be like a Mad Men type thing, but in space. So Mad Men.
Okay.
Like a crime type shit. Crime noir, but in space.
Mad Men is like a marketing firm.
Oh, what am I thinking of?
Probably True Detective.
True Detective. Sorry. Yeah. I don't know why I thought about it. I haven't seen
Mad Men. They're going to be pitching different companies on space advertisements.
Yes, exactly. They're advertising in space.
That'd be cool.
Also the new Green Lantern Corps.
Yeah.
So yeah, we'll see. I just want to see something about this other than like casting, because it seems like it's been a thing for a while.
Yeah.
But I mean, they've changed around and stuff. But right now, cautious.
Mm-hmm. Hellboy the Crooked Man. Mm-hmm. It's going to go straight to digital in America.
What?
Yeah.
I want to see it in a theater.
It'll be out on October 8th. So they decided not to have a theatrical run domestically.
That's lame.
It will release in the UK on Friday.
Yeah.
So
I think, do you think that they were waiting to see what the general reception is for this movie before they decide to commit releasing it in theaters?
Probably. I think they have to have an American distributor.
Oh, and they just don't have that?
Right.
Interesting.
There's been like, people just don't get it, Nathan. Like, I don't know. I don't know if that
is. I feel like this movie's going to be good.
It might be good.
All the million red flags, I feel like it'll be pretty good.
Yeah. As long as they pull off the story, that's all I can ask for.
So we're going to have a movie night?
Yeah, we're going to have a movie night. We'll find out if it's rent or purchase. You know, I don't know if I want to.
You don't want to purchase it?
Yeah, I don't know, dude. What if it's like $20 and it's like the only movie
I have? I can help. I can pitch in. I'll pitch in $4.
Yeah, dude. Then I'll have multiple copies of different Hellboys, you know?
And it's like, it just gets confusing.
Yeah.
Because it's like, none of these are the Guillermo del Toro ones. So right. Everyone's going to get confused.
Right. So, oh, dude, that's like next Tuesday. So next Friday, it's on.
Yeah, we can wait till Friday.
Okay.
I don't think we'll get spoiled.
Probably not. We've read the spoilers.
Yeah, pretty much. The Ringo Awards happened. We don't really follow this one too much.
Okay.
But there's some cool ones in there. Chris Somney got Best Cover Artist. Elsa Cheratier got Best Artist or Penciler for Love Everlasting. The same writer that won the Best Writer for the Eisners also won this for the same Roaming book. So maybe we should check that out.
Mariko Tamaki?
Yeah, Mariko Tamaki.
Okay.
So that'd be kind of interesting. I think this is kind of old news, but that Survival Street book that we looked up like last week, we were just talking about it. It's like Muppets.
Yeah.
But like, I don't know.
The James Asmus thing?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
He's got a sequel series coming out called Survival Street, The Radical Left. Mm-hmm. I just found out about. So apparently that book is popular.
Did that come out today?
I think it came out today.
Mm.
So that's already out. Go check it out.
Cool.
Oh, there's going to be a month-long What If Galactus thing, where it's going to be like every week there's a different Herald of Galactus in like a What If tale.
Mm.
And the people that are going to be part of it are Hulk, Gambit, Moon Knight, Rogue, and Spider-Gwen to be like the new Heralds of like Galactus in like different situations.
Okay. And
so there's going to be like Galactus Herald designs for each of them. I think it's kind of interesting.
Cool.
And then there's going to be a Red Band Daredevil Unleash Hell series, which means it's like mature rated. And it's going to be like one of those ones that are like...
Oh, yeah. It's got the like wrapped up.
And the poly bag or whatever it's called.
Sure.
So that's classic. It's going to come out from... written by Erica Schultz, who did some Daredevil Woman Without Fear.
Mm-hmm.
And artist Valentina Pinti, who did Blade and Immortal Thor. So I think it's kind of cool.
Yeah. I think it's like Elektra in that series.
Yeah. Elektra as
Elektra Daredevil. Mm-hmm. Right.
So that's pretty cool.
What did we read this week, Nathan?
We read Deceased. Like DC, but dead. But it's like all DC. And it's by...
A risky title.
Do you think they came up with the title first? It seems like one of those things.
Potentially.
It is written by Tom Taylor with art by various people. Primarily Trevor Hairsine. But there's some like Derek Robertson in here, James Herron in here, Stefano Gaudiano, who is like the main backup artist for it, but it's like a whole cast of people.
Laura Braga.
Laura Braga, Richard Friend.
Yeah.
Good name.
James Herron.
Yeah, he's in the first issue.
Is he?
Yeah. He's like, so I read the first issue and I think I fell off of it. Everything that I remember about the series was the James Herron pages. So I wish he was on more of this. You'll think it's obvious once you see it and that you know it's James Herron.
Okay.
But it's in the first issue. But
some of the issues, they'll tell you like who did the work on it.
Yeah.
And I don't remember seeing James Herron on a specific one.
Yeah.
It's James Herron. Oh,
it's,
he is.
It's okay. Basically like the first issue, everything that's in Apocalypse.
Okay. So. Gotcha. What'd you think of this, Nathan?
I think this is great. I feel like Tom Taylor's the best at creating like universe-wide event stories. Because he's got Injustice, he's got this, he's got Dark Ages with Marvel, which I genuinely very much enjoy. And I think he's really good at this. So I enjoy it quite a lot.
Mm-hmm.
You did not?
What makes you say that?
You just didn't agree with me immediately, and you seem like you were waiting to have a different opinion.
You didn't like this? So it had like good pacing, which is like a big plus for
good
me.
Good pacing is like the main thing,
I think. It like feels kind of hollow.
Why?
Like I'm not feeling like the stakes.
There's so many stakes.
There are stakes, but I'm not feeling the stakes.
You're not feeling them?
And
he didn't cook. I
wish there was one artist for this whole thing.
I agree.
There's like an issue where it's like a bunch of different people.
Yep.
It's a little distracting.
Fair.
Since it's like a mini series, I feel like that's possible, but it just wasn't, I guess.
I guess not, yeah. That's fair.
And it's just kind of out there.
I think what is out there and what's a bit of a stretch is how they get it going, like how they get the story going.
Right.
And that is a little distracting the whole time because then you're like trying to figure out the logic of how this works. And it's kind of just one of those things where you have to just like kind of go along for the ride. Because there are really good moments.
I really liked were like some moments, and I really liked the decisions.
Yeah.
Like the lack of plot armor, you know?
Yeah, definitely.
Or like Golden Boy armor.
And he seems to spend a lot of time figuring out how they can't fix this, which is kind of cool, I think. Because like an apocalypse happens, a zombie apocalypse happens, and then you naturally think like, why not just go back in time? Or why not use some magic or, you know, do all this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And they come up with the reasons for why that like doesn't work. And I think that's kind of cool. Pretty creative ideas, pretty good story beats, moments that are like pretty emotional and cool. So I like this quite a bit. I think you're wrong.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, it was a good time.
Yeah.
But rereadability.
So
not quite.
So did you like Dark Ages more from Marvel? Did you read all that?
I like Dark Ages way more, yeah.
I think I like these about the same.
As far as Tom Taylor things?
Yeah, as far as like Tom Taylor events.
Do you like this more than Marvel Zombies?
Ooh. Like original Marvel Zombies?
Yeah. What have you read other Marvel Zombies?
That Groot one that wasn't that good to me. I'm trying to remember what happened in Marvel Zombies. That one, I think, has the benefit of having Sean Phillips on it the entire time. And yeah. He's kind of a legend, right? Robert Kirkman, obviously.
But it was
a legend.
Like Sean Phillips before Sean Phillips.
That one, I feel less of the stakes because it seems like everybody's just a zombie in that one.
True.
Like already, and you don't really see the outbreak really happen. And then you kind of it. That one's weird because the perspective kind of changes and you start following zombies in that one. Right.
And that's something you have to consider and whether or not you like it more.
I think story wise, I like this more. But I think overall product, Marvel Zombies is probably better.
Hmm. OK.
Does that make sense?
Have we read other zombie stuff?
We read the Army of Darkness Marvel Zombies.
Those are like Deadites, and
it still says Marvel Zombies on it, dude.
What are you talking about? Yeah, that's true. That's true. I forgot about that.
We saw Howard the Duck Zombie. That's why that one's the best.
Do you
one.
Like this or Afterlife with Archie more?
Afterlife with Archie is better, right?
Yeah.
It's like it's just so good. Like,
yeah, no,
Francesco Francavilla. Are you shitting me?
Mm-hmm.
That dog. The dog that made the dog rule.
Stop bringing up the dog.
Dude, the dog rule is the only dog rule exception
we've
ever had.
About it.
I like... God, that book's so good. Why did we read it so early, dude? I want to read it again.
We could. I was thinking about that. What if we just did like greatest hits, yeah. but like a video version because we didn't have it back then?
Yeah. Oh, true. It'd be kind of fun. But yeah, I remember like when we were talking about Afterlife with Archie and we went over the dog thing, I like started tearing up again.
Yeah.
Like,
it's very fresh.
That book's great. More Archie stuff we should do.
Definitely.
But let's get into this. So issue one, it starts off with like, oh, this happened a week ago and the Justice League successfully fights off Darkseid and like a parademon invasion. Darkseid leaves and he's like cryptically saying that he has what he came for, which ends up being the anti-life equation, which currently is inside Cyborg on the planet Apocalypse. And he's like kind of strapped down. Darkseid tries to transfer the anti-life equation into himself or something so he can control it, but he becomes corrupted and starts to like destroy Apocalypse. And then Desaad, who's Darkseid's minion dude, transports Cyborg via boom tube back to Earth. And that's kind of the start of this.
Couple things.
Yep.
I like how Batman just has the balls to just point a finger at Darkseid.
He is pointing a finger at him.
Be like, you will not return to our world.
He can laser you in a fucking second.
And I'd be like, what?
Also, I like...
You're getting pointy with him?
What is Green Arrow doing here? What is he contributing? You know?
Nothing, like usual.
How did he help? Or like Nightwing's in the back too. What is he doing? I feel like he probably helped less than Green Arrow.
Yeah, very possible.
At least Green Arrow could probably take out some parademons or whatever, but you know, it's just funny.
Okay, I see the...
So the James Heron pages are everything on Apocalypse. I wish that like he did this whole thing, but I'm a pretty big James Heron fan.
That'd be sick.
But everything on Apocalypse is really strong, and I think the panel that like sticks out in my mind is when Darkseid like first starts going crazy and he starts clawing at his own head.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of the interesting attributes of these zombies is like when they're turning, they're like ripping the skin off their face and shit. So that's kind of cool. But yeah, this is like the panel I remember when I remember reading this series for the first time.
That Now that I look at it, I'm like, yeah, this would be fucking cool if he did all of it.
Yeah. So,
but I think he's also the best artist for the Apocalypse stuff
for sure,
you know. And I don't know if I'd be as interested to see like,
oh, just normal, like Superman flying around.
Yeah,
that's fair.
Like, it'd be cool, but like the colors just like really work for
Apocalypse,
his style.
Yeah, I would agree with that. That's a good point.
What the fuck's the Black Racer?
The Black Racer, I don't know, kind of like a Silver Surfer dude, I guess. He's supposed to be like the sort of embodiment of death. I think what he's kind of like a Grim Reaper type dude, like a New Gods type dude. I think he's supposed to be some sort of an embodiment of death. I think they explained why they needed him, which is basically to keep Cyborg alive while they were doing this transfer. But
there's a funny bit where Apocalypse is blown up.
Mm-hmm.
Desaad says like, Darkseid is, and then Caption's like, Darkseid was.
Because he fucking blew up.
My got him.
Nice. Is the Darkseid is thing, has that always been a thing, or was that a Tom King thing?
I think it's a Tom King thing.
Really? There's some references to Tom King shit in here.
Because Tom Taylor is a...
He gets confused for Tom King all the time.
He's got a big crush on Tom King.
Well, they like apparently get confused for each other all the time.
Yeah.
Or at least I've seen that via Twitter, and like he's not making a good case for himself, you know?
Right.
Like it... Because there's even like a veggie plate that like Mr. Miracle hands out later.
Yeah.
And I'm like, come on. Like Tom King has that character so by the balls that every time we see Mr. Miracle somewhere, there has to be some sort of reference to like that series.
Yeah.
Because I guess that's everybody's like anchor point now. So, which is fine.
That's the only memorable thing about Mr. Miracle.
But it's just funny to like be in the middle of a zombie apocalypse and then Mr. Miracle's like, hey, I got this veggie plate. You know, I just have these, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's funny. So Cyborg lands in Metropolis. He accidentally infects the internet with a techno-organic infection of the anti-life equation, which turns people into zombies, essentially. Superman gets drawn to a bunch of screams that are happening
in
Metropolis.
It's like a social media metaphor, Nathan.
Because everyone's always on their phone.
Your phones are killing you, man.
Dude, everyone's on their phones.
It just makes social media just makes you a lifeless zombie.
Like, the internet is going to be like our downfall.
And you're just full of violence.
It's like a metaphor.
Oh.
Dude, I didn't pick that up before.
Well,
it is on the nose, but I think the intent of this series is to make shit hit the fan like way faster than like a normal spread of a zombie virus is.
Yeah.
So even though this is like a bit of a stretch, because like the anti-life equation is such a abstract, vague thing, they people whenever they use it, they
to
just
us, maybe
it's always every time I see it, I'm like, what is this? Darkseid War, in like, Mr. Miracle, I've never understood it.
We haven't dug into like
New Gods?
Jack Kirby, New God stuff or Fourth World stuff.
It
might be explained in there.
He doesn't dumb it down for us. I could just tell you that.
Maybe it's simpler back then.
You think so? I don't know. At least now, it's like this very vague thing. We never see it. You never really know what it is or how to control it kind of deal. So it's just interesting. So I think it's used to be a plot device to just make shit hit the fan like way
faster.
It's
basically just a power and you can like have whatever you want essentially if you have it.
I guess.
Kind of.
That's a better explanation than I've ever gotten, you know? So
they like explain something in here and I'm like, okay, yeah.
Yeah, but it is supposed to be that. Like, okay, yeah.
Darkseid's always looking for it.
Yeah, he seems to be real obsessed with it.
It actually comes into play in the Kite Man series, if you can believe that.
Have you watched that? I forgot about that.
I watched like the first episode.
Okay, nice.
And then I forgot about it. It's fun.
Okay. So Superman's drawn to like all these screams in Metropolis. He sees the chaos and then he stops John Kent and Lois from looking at any screens at home. And my confusion is, how does he put that together so fast?
Super fast.
He's like, oh, wow, look at all these zombies. They must be looking at their phones too much.
Yeah.
Like there's no explanation for like why he figured that out. But luckily he does. And he's able to stop his family from turning into zombies.
And he's able to laser his son's phone while it's in his hand.
Yeah.
I'm like, a little rude.
Yeah. But. It would kind of hurt probably. In the Batcave, the Bat computer's firewall shuts itself off from the infection. And Batman uses analog cameras and like offline systems that he has to estimate that 600 million people have probably been infected already. Batman releases an EMP to knock out like the Wayne Manor technology. But Nightwing and Robin are already infected, Daniel. And so Batman tells Alfred to run as he fights off Nightwing. And he gets bit by Nightwing in the neck.
Oh, yeah. Because like you see him later and I'm like, when did he get bit? But there's like
it's literally like the biggest thing. It's the biggest part of this.
I read it digitally. Okay.
I think that,
but it was like more implied. I'm like, oh, he must have gotten bit by Nightwing.
You know, you see it like four times, dude. He's getting like scratched in the arm and shit. He gets bit by Robin first. I don't know how
this infection works.
I think this is probably the best way for Batman to get infected.
Yeah, because he's like, his guard's down, at least.
His guard's down. He doesn't really know what this is fully yet, so he doesn't want to, like, kill Nightwing and Robin, right? That's, like, his family. And so he's got, like, that kind of blinder on, but he doesn't know if there's, like, a way to actually, like, revert them back or what this is. So it makes sense that this is how he goes out, or at least he gets infected.
Yeah. Something I thought was cheesy is that the captions are, like, talking about how, like, monsters aren't real or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, it's like, there's one thing I didn't know in the last captions, like, there's a monster inside us all. And I'm like,
a little cringe.
Delete.
Get an editor.
It doesn't pay off. Just delete it.
Yeah, that's on the cliffhanger page. There's a monster inside all of us.
I don't think there's that many captions after this point.
There's a few.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not revealed, like, if this person's, like, a character, if it's just, like, a general, like, narrator.
Mm-hmm.
But I like to think it's Lois Lane, like, writing all this down as, like, a documentation.
Maybe.
For like what's going on. So, but anyway, pretty good cliffhanger page because he's like, oh shit, Batman got hit. What's going to happen? So issue two, we open in the Atlantic Ocean. Aquaman finds like a cargo ship that, you know, he's like, what's going on here? He opens it up and there's like a horde of zombies inside that attack him.
And he dies like a little bitch.
He gets tackled into the ocean, right? And in Metropolis, Lois Lane suggests that she, Damian Wayne Robin, who's with them at the time, and Superboy head to the Daily Planet building for safety. And then in Gotham, Harley goes to break up with the Joker, who's already infected. And then Hal Jordan, Green Lantern, Green Arrow, and Black Canary are out camping. Hal gets infected when he like looks at his phone, and then Black Canary's scream kills him, and then Black Canary is selected as the replacement Green Lantern. I'm a little disappointed in this. Because Green Lantern like immediately dies and I'm like, fuck dude, it could have been so helpful. And then he gets killed and then there's still Green Lantern in the story. It's just not Hal Jordan,
and
which is fine
and is way helpful.
It's just very lucky that she was the best fit for Green Lantern like right after him.
Yeah,
so the ring's like, I don't know, you'll do, I guess. Which has happened before,
right?
So it's just interesting that it, you know, starts, they do it for a reason later, but it's whatever. But this smoky, like, zombie Green Lantern panel is pretty cool.
Pretty neat.
And it also gives us some context. Like, if you're a zombie, you still know how to use, like, your powers. Which is, I think, important because you're not, like, just going feral and, like, you know, like there's still some like logic in there a little bit.
I think it's more, like we find out that they're like a little bit smarter than they lead on.
Yeah.
Later, but I think it's more like kind of like an instinct thing as far as
right.
how destructive you can be. Do you yeah. feel like the artist draws eyes a little bit too far
yes.
apart? Okay.
There's so many instances, and like they're not like level a lot of the time. Are you talking about this? Okay, that one, yeah, pretty far away.
That's a big one for me.
This one's a big one for me that I noticed. Like, the eyes just aren't leveled.
Yeah.
And sometimes they're, like, too small.
Yeah, and for, that adds my to liking. It. Yeah.
Yeah. So, but, I did also notice that. I'm glad you did.
Yeah, it's whatever.
I don't normally, like, get super nitpicky about anything art-related, but this one I did notice, like, a lot. So.
So, you think, is it Dinah Lance?
Dinah Lance, yeah.
Is her new name like the Green Canary then?
I'm glad that nobody calls her that. I think she's just Green Lantern. She happens to have voice powers, you know? I don't really love her design. I think it's just the mask. Something about the mask.
The forehead mask?
The forehead mask.
It's a little off-putting.
I wish it was just like a, I don't know, like a eyebrow mask, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that would look better, but I like that she still has her like leather jacket on. That's kind of cool.
I think it's pretty sick, actually.
Yeah. I think it's like, a cool design. Just the mask
like
throws me off.
The forehead mask, it's like, it's very Batwoman.
Yeah.
And I think that works. But
okay.
Does Jessica Cruz have like the normal Green Lantern mask?
No, she's got like a face paint looking type thing. Of, oh, like right. a Green Lantern thing. Yeah, I like that design. So, my favorite design is the Kyle Rayner Green Lantern one when he first starts, when it's like black and white.
So can like Green Lantern constructs make sound?
Yeah, we haven't hit that part yet.
Yeah.
But so yeah, like later on, there's like a megaphone.
Yeah.
That somebody uses, and I'll let it slide. Because if you think like you can build a megaphone. Right?
We're like touching on like all the senses as far as like Green Lantern constructs rules.
Like, I don't think, as far as senses go, I don't think you could like feel stuff through a construct necessarily. You know, like if I have okay. a big hand and it touches your face with a construct, I don't think I could feel your face.
Yeah, but I'll feel
like,
your hand.
But we have the technology to like build megaphones. So I like to think that Green Lantern constructs have the technology to mimic that technology.
You think they'd be able to make food?
No.
No. Okay.
Because there's no like nutrients. You know, there's just light. You can make stuff that looks like food.
Yeah.
And that's fun.
Mm-hmm. Slap somebody with a ham or something.
Or like create like a... like a pie that you throw at someone's face, you know?
All right. So taste, touch.
Sound.
Sound.
Which I'm okay with.
Hear.
That's sound.
Sound. What other senses are there?
Smell.
We did a smell one because like Jessica Cruz wakes someone up with smelling salts.
Green Lantern smelling salts?
Yeah.
Or like construct?
Construct smelling salts.
When did that happen? I don't remember that. Was that in 52?
No. It was in a book I read. It was in Justice League versus Godzilla versus Kong.
Oh, I've read that.
Yeah.
I don't remember that happening, but that's kind of funny. I feel like you could just like slap someone awake at that point, you know, or just like shove some shit up somebody's nose.
Yeah, no, they made like whatever the smelling salts are.
Yeah, I don't remember that. That seems like a bit of a stretch to me.
What are their, is that all the senses?
I think what's attracted me about Green Lantern is that you are still kind of limited in what you're doing. Like, it's supposed to be the most powerful weapon in the universe. That's mm-hmm. like, that gets thrown around a lot. I tend to disagree, but I think it's still pretty cool
yeah.
as like a concept. And so, you know, you can stretch that a little bit, but like in 52, they did a thing where he like did Lantern construct like earbud walkie-talkie things.
Yeah.
That also connected people's minds telepathically. And that was a little much for me.
Well, they were like talking. So they were just a bunch of transmitters. Right, and receivers. So
that too, yeah.
It's like he built those individually.
Right.
And they're able to pick up and then transmit the sound.
I also typically like when the construct comes out of like the ring and you see like the tail like leading yeah. to the construct. And so to have like these things that exist outside of that, you know, is weird. What I do like about this though in the book is that he immediately starts using like zombified constructs, which I think is just kind of funny.
That's neat, yeah.
Like the zombie just kind of forgets, you know. Like, you could just make, like, a gun if you wanted to.
That seems more natural.
It is natural, which I think it's a cool thing that they thought about. Like, what's a zombie going to make a construct of, you know? So, it's kind of fun.
Yeah.
So, Superman and family with Damian Wayne head to the Daily Planet. They head to, like, the roof of it, and they gather, like, radio and other analog equipment for communication. They make contact with Batman over the radio, who has now used Mr. Freeze's suit to slow down his infection. And then Batman uses this opportunity to tell them everything that he's learned about the virus so far. And then he tells Damian that Alfred has something for him. And then Batman turns into a zombie and Alfred executes him with a shotgun. Which, you know, there's some pretty cool ideas here. Like, to go into
Batman
the...
Batman dying.
Love that. But no, like, him go like having a Mr. Freeze suit is kind of cool. Yeah. And he's like, oh, let me just like hop into this real quick and hopefully this works. You know, I think that's a cool idea.
They don't do that in The Walking Dead.
No, they don't. Or even like Marvel Zombies stuff. Like, you don't really get like that granular with it, because it's you're kind of just in the middle of it, which is fine.
I didn't know that your body slows down or whatever when it's in ice,
your metabolism.
But that makes sense, I guess.
I don't know if that's true. Is that why people, why do people cold plunge if that's the case? Don't you want your metabolism to be faster?
Well, it's like good for muscles and stuff.
Oh, okay. So if you're in there for a long time, I guess that would make sense.
Yeah, and it also like boosts your like dopamine output by like 200%.
Ooh,
I did cool. it once in my pool in the winter. I actually did it a couple times.
Oh wow.
And I felt like I was like high for like an hour afterwards.
Really?
Yeah, it's awesome. I was only in there for like 3 minutes.
That seems terrible.
My pool gets down to like 55 degrees, which is kind of like
that's like
sweet spot for it.
Oh really?
Yeah.
Aren't cold plunges like 40 degrees, 35 degrees, something like that? Like just the barely...
those like tubs that people get.
Yeah,
that's what a lot of people go down to for some reason. But
interesting.
You don't need to.
Here's one of like the very emotional beats here, which is great. You know, because we see like Batman, you know, talk to his son right before he dies, and then Alfred talk to like his son kind of right before he kills Batman. So I like those moments.
It would be kind of cool, because like when he's like, when he turns, he goes, he's like in like a attack position.
Yeah, he's like,
like to go like attack Alfred, and if somehow he gets Alfred and is like just on the loose, like a zombie Batman for a little bit, would be crazy.
That would be kind of cool.
That'd be scary. He's not like the same Batman, you know, because he's like
more focused on like killing people or
he's not like
doing whatever
strategic or whatever. Yeah. But it'd still be kind of cool.
It would be kind of cool, but it makes sense that he's created the situation where that can't happen.
Right.
Like, he's smart enough to know that, like, okay, I'm gonna turn. We need to make sure I don't get anywhere, you know. And I think Tom Taylor, not Tom King,
who
has always been like pretty good at navigating like when to slow down progressing like the plot and the situation so that we can have some of these emotional beats, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, yeah, I agree.
Because like up to this, I mean, in this issue, it was a lot of here's what's happening in Metropolis and Gotham and Atlantis and shit like that.
And some characters you maybe didn't think about.
Yeah, and it's like, what's the Joker doing? I don't know. And then like you get to the end of here and it's like, all right, let's slow down and get to some like pretty, you know, emotional stuff. So I like that.
He's what I like is good. Like, it's not a bunch of random people, I guess. Like, you know, the establishing shot of when they're beating up Darkseid has like people that'll come into play later,
right?
You know, and then they're showing random people like Ivy and Harley.
Yeah,
but they also play a part in like
what's to come later.
Yeah, what's to come.
And it's so, not just like, oh, let's see what Plastic Man's doing, you know.
Just I thought of Plastic Man too.
He would be kind of scary.
Yeah,
dude, they have Elongated Man in Blackest Night, and he's like a Black Lantern, and he's very scary in that because they look pretty zombified in that. Yeah,
I was like, what construct does a stretchy man make are scary?
Yeah, because the Black Lanterns are all characters that have died canonically in comics. They come back as Black Lanterns.
How long is Blackest Night?
12 issue? No, 8 initially. And then there's Brightest Day, which is a follow-up to that, which I started reading recently. And that one's like a little bit longer. But I think Blackest Night's like 8.
Could you jump into that?
Sure.
And like...
Yeah, it was meant to be like an event.
Oh.
It is...
8 issues.
0 through 8 is the collection, so about 9. But shit's good, too. And that's not just me glazing.
I bet it's dick. 300 pages?
It's beefy, which is why I've never suggested it before. I really enjoy it, but it's a lot.
Like, I could like, it's put cool. down some comics in a week if I needed to.
Maybe for my birthday. We'll see.
Maybe. Yeah, you get to pick.
Yeah, I get to pick.
You get to choose whatever you want.
Yeah.
Have you been thinking about it?
No. Not really.
Don't do something lame.
I want to do something lame that I like that you don't.
Well, yeah, that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's like, not something lame that I'm like, okay, cool.
You'll probably like Blackest Night, so I'm not going to do that. You know? So anyway.
Anyway.
Issue 3, Daniel. Alfred leaves the bodies of Batman, Nightwing, and Robin in the Batcave, and then he leaves in the Batplane, and he takes out a few Gotham zombies on his way out, which I think is funny.
Bro goes crazy.
I love when Alfred has aura. you know?
Yeah.
He just lets out some steam.
He's
so cool. He's like, let me just fucking blow up these Gotham civilians.
He's like, fuck y'all.
Harley kills zombie Joker, then he gets surprised by the zombie birds of prey. This is funny to me because I like the idea that homies that you're homies with before you're a zombie, like you stay homies with those people when you're all zombies. Because like the birds of prey, they like seem to travel together because it's like Catwoman, Batgirl, Huntress, and Batwoman. And that's like all birds of prey. And I guess they just like travel around together, you know? So I like that idea that there's still like zombie cliques. That's funny to me. In Metropolis, Superman has to clear out the Daily Planet building and he takes out a bunch of zombified coworkers very sadly and then secures the building from more getting in. So that's kind of like a safe haven now. And then Superman leaves to go to Kent Farm. And then in Atlantis, Mara and Tempest have to defend Atlantis from a horde of zombies led by Aquaman. And Mara has to like flee when she gets overwhelmed.
Because what was cool about this is that the blood is... and the disease is like spreading in the water.
Yeah.
And it gets like Tempest.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, I like that.
That is pretty cool.
Cause
don't sharks like sniff blood from like a mile away?
Yeah.
Isn't that a thing?
Something like that.
Are these zombie sharks or are they just like along for the ride? Are they just like, oh, sweet.
They look like zombie sharks.
Do they?
They
seem like just regular sharks, but like, are these zombie fish? They might be, I don't know.
You know, they might just be normal sharks that are smelling the blood and like, they're like taking advantage of the opportunity. They're like,
fuck yeah, this is great. All you can eat. But I think technically the anti-life equation, you know, would go to all life. It would apply to all life. So there's probably like zombie deer and shit out there, zombie bears. We just never see it.
I mean, if like the, because they breathe through the gills or whatever. And if like the blood's in the water and then they breathe in that,
then they're probably zombies.
Yeah.
Probably zombie fish.
But they don't have any appendages to like scrape their faces up.
Which is like the main way that you know that you're fucked up, you know? So either the sharks are normal and they're just having a field day or they're zombie sharks. Either way, pretty cool. I love these pages of like sad Superman taking out old coworkers and friends, and like there's this panel where he like opens the door to Perry White's like office.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, this is sad. So
pretty cool. They don't show him zombified. I'm like, out of respect.
Yeah, you know? It does feel like that in a way.
I don't give a shit about Perry White, but maybe someone does.
I don't, but like you could tell that Superman's like, oh fuck you too, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Also, this double page spread is amazing in the Atlantis blood scene. Pretty cool.
That's neat.
So Superman finds Black Lightning and his family, and he's telling them to head to the Daily Planet, and then he goes to Kent Farm. Superman finds his zombified father trapped in the barn basement. And Superman just kind of gently throws him back and then traps him in there. And then he flies off with Mama Kent.
And Ma Kent's like, we can't go, your father. And then he's like, pause in here.
Oh my God, and I was like, dude. This is so good and so sad. Like when he sees zombie Pa Kent and like he like lets him like strike at Superman for a little bit because he's just like, he's like so sad, you know?
Yeah.
Like you really feel it. And then he just like gently puts him back in there and he's like, he traps him in the little basement because he's like, maybe if there's some way to fix this, you're like, y'all know you're here.
That's
you know?
Bad. Yeah.
It's so sad.
I think sad Superman's my favorite Superman.
Sad Superman is my fucking favorite Superman, dude. Because like when he's sad, things are fucking sad, you know?
Yeah.
It's awesome. And so this is like my favorite part.
Do you have a favorite like zombified character?
Ever? Like just across in this, Marvel's? In this? That's a good question.
Well, it should be Clayface.
Oh, zombie Clayface is cool.
Because zombie Clayface is terrifying. I'm like, what is this monster? But yeah. It's like, oh no, it's Clayface.
Zombies have a very distinct style in this.
It's like reaching up and grabbing like helicopters and shit.
Yeah, zombie Clayface is a really good one. Yeah, I'd probably go with that. We see zombie Flash later and that's like super scary.
Oh yeah, it's terrifying.
Because he could just take a little nibble out of like many people.
Everybody, yeah.
In like a second. So that'd probably be that.
I think conceptually, that's scary, but design-wise, just...
they don't do much with it.
It's just whatever.
Yeah, I think Clayface has the coolest zombified design because they can do a lot with it. Issue 4, which is disappointing because on the cover they have Sergeant Rock. We do not see Sergeant Rock in this.
That could just be like a random military guy.
It's not. There's only one military guy in all of DC Universe. It's Sergeant Rock.
Yeah.
But issue 4, we're in Washington.
I don't even know how you'd like work him in.
I don't know. He's like, I'm here with a gun. I don't know.
He's here with the military.
Do you think if he's a zombie, he uses a gun? Probably, right? Do zombies use guns?
I fucking hope not.
I'd be kind of sick, though.
That'd be terrifying.
Imagine, like, Zombie Punisher, and he's, like, fucking equipped with all of his
M4s. That'd make Nazi zombies, like, a million times harder.
Oh, if they all had guns?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It would suck.
But they don't, like,
They're not good at
They're not aiming. They're like, what?
Yeah, if they get it's close like, to you, it's like, you better move the fuck away. But anyway, in Washington, D.C., Captain Adam and Amanda Waller are observing an infected woman that the Adam, Ray Palmer, has shrunk into to study and hopefully find a cure. That takes a while, so Captain Adam is sent to handle like the most infected areas in the city, but then he realizes that Ray Palmer is infected and inside of him in his bloodstream and infecting Captain Adam.
So the Adam got Captain Adam.
The Adam got Captain Adam, and seems like a really big oversight, if I'm being honest. Like, why are you standing in that room just like seeing what's happening and not putting them in some sort of quarantine?
I don't know how the Adam got infected, unless he was like attacked by blood cells or something.
White blood cells, man.
Maybe. And then like,
or maybe he like,
and then Captain Adam is like impenetrable practically.
Yeah.
Like, how does the Adam get so small to like get inside of him?
Like, he goes through his fucking nose or something. Like, he breathes him in.
Yeah, maybe.
That seems like the most obvious way.
All right, you got me.
It takes 2 seconds to think about how they... That was not anything I was ever confused at whatsoever.
No, they like talk about it as if like, how did this happen?
Yeah, but he's still got to breathe, dude. He's still got to, I think. I don't know. Maybe he doesn't have to breathe. I love Captain Adam, though. There's a really good New 52 Captain Adam I think we should read.
Is there?
Oh, maybe that's what we're going to
read. Have you read it?
I have. It's good.
All right.
It's good. They use like colored pencils to color and shit. It's awesome.
Whoa. Yeah, you have brought that up for like years.
I have. It's good, I think. I read it when I was like new to like comics, so maybe it kind of is ass. But
I remember seeing the cover. I'm like, nah.
I think it's good.
Okay.
Because I read it and I was like, damn. This is comics right here. You know, as I'm reading in like the fucking cafeteria in college.
Yeah.
But every other Captain Adam thing I've read since, terrible.
Like the
Fall and Rise of Captain Adam.
Yeah.
Boring.
Ooh.
So Superman returns to the Daily Planet with Martha, and then he goes to help like other survivors. Superman, I guess, has been using his X-ray vision, which prevents him from getting infected.
Okay. Yeah. Seeing through buildings, make sure there's no screens, I guess.
Well, like, I think if he only uses X-ray to look around and stuff, he could like look directly at a screen.
He doesn't take in like the blue light from cell phones.
I guess, but like you kind of still are. You just have this other thing, I feel like. But
also like the screens are like red, you know?
So you know they're infected. Yeah.
I guess. Because like when Green Lantern is like looking in the tent, like the phone, glare from the phone is red.
Yeah. I guess the anti-life of equation has
evil
a color.
Phone.
But it's interesting because like regular TV channels aren't infected.
Well, because that's like satellite.
Yeah, it's like satellite and analog. So it's like, it's strictly internet, it seems
but
like.
But Netflix will get you.
Netflix will get you. But not Fox News, you know?
If you're waiting for the season finale of Love is Blind.
Sorry.
It'll kill you.
Or like, you know, radio is more analog, I guess. So I don't know.
Yeah.
It's kind of interesting. And so Lois broadcasts to all radio and TV channels informing anyone that hears to head to the Daily Planet building. I don't know how you're going to get there, but good luck. And then Queen Mara goes to Themyscira for safety. And then Superman and Green Lantern find the Flashes, who were instructed by Batman to hide so that they wouldn't become infected and be a real fucking problem. Which is a smart move.
Very smart.
Yeah.
I have an issue with the Themyscira part.
Okay.
They have a little pillar thing just for a radio.
Yeah. It seems out of place that they have a radio in general.
Right.
Because like they don't have any internet.
And they have a place for it.
They're like just finding out about this whole thing from Mara. And so Wonder Woman is like, oh, I gotta go help.
Like, let's go to the Parthenon thing that we have where the radio's at.
Yeah, like is that the only radio in all of Themyscira?
Yeah. And then somehow find the channel that they're broadcasting.
They're like, oh shit, let's go to 98.5 or whatever. Like I don't know. Yeah. What do they do?
The 80s, 90s,
what,
and today.
What radio are they getting? What, like, where are they closest to, radio signal-wise? Seems like they'd be closest to, like, Asia or something, maybe.
I don't know where Themyscira is.
I don't either. I've never been able to find it on a map.
No one does, yeah.
At the Daily Planet, they're attacked by Giganta, who's, like, a really tall person, or grows really big.
Love a giant zombie.
I love a giant zombie, dude. One of my favorite zombie things.
Yeah, this is great.
So, a bunch of them fight them off. Superman's there to help. Alfred comes in the Batwing. He helps a little bit. Wonder Woman shows up. She helps. And then Cyborg blows a hole in Giganta's head. Alfred delivers a suitcase to Damian, which is the bat suit. And he's like, Batman's real proud of you. He wants you to be Batman. And then Cyborg explains the anti-life equation, like what that is to everyone. And that the zombies are motivated by like ending life, not necessarily by like eating brains or whatever. So I like this version of zombies because that's like what their motivation is as the anti-life equation.
Yeah, it gives it a
They
want to
get rid of, yeah, life.
So when Giganta was there, Wonder Woman was going to get like attack her and like kill her, but Superman like stops her.
Yeah.
Because he's like, oh, what if we could save her? I'm like, you want to try and save Giganta, the giant zombie?
What are you going to do? Where are you going to put her?
Yeah. You going to lock her up somewhere?
Yeah.
How's that going to work?
This is the person you should not try and save
yeah,
right
so
now.
Yeah, so I'm like, what do you mean? And then Cyborg comes in, blows a hole through their head.
This panel is Aura right here with Cyborg.
Yeah.
And the smoking little blaster he's got. I love that panel. The flashes are given like contact lenses as a way of protecting against compromised screens, which is also kind of interesting.
Yeah.
Like you have to make direct contact. It's not just like you could still, I guess, look at a phone if you have contacts.
Mm-hmm.
So I would survive in this zombie apocalypse, or at least for a little bit, because yeah. I have contacts.
If only everyone had like a privacy screen.
Or like, oh, true. Yeah, are screen protectors part of that?
Mm.
If I have sunglasses on, does that work?
It'd be funny if they were specific, but like the blue light from the cell phones is the reason why.
Dude, I have the blue light filter on my phone.
And everyone, and then like Batman has like...
Everyone working from
home like,
is fine. Has
like blue light glasses for everybody.
He's like, I got these from Mr. Freeze because he's blue.
Yeah.
Hot Girl flies in warning Superman and Wonder Woman of the infected Captain Atom. Both Superman and Wonder Woman go to Washington. They grab Captain Atom to fly him away before he explodes, but they're too late. And Captain Atom violently detonates, and he vaporizes several major cities, including Metropolis.
I saw that. I'm like, does he nuke everything?
He nukes fucking everything, and this is maybe the most manga panel I've ever seen in like a DC comic.
Yeah.
Which is just like this huge explosion.
I was like, I guess that's it.
And I'm like, dude, that'd be a cool way to end. Like, yeah, they all die.
Or, like, all these, like, A-listers die, you know?
And yeah, like, and then it's just, like, they switch the focus.
Then it goes
like,
to Grifter.
Yeah, dude, give me some of that. Goes to fucking the League of Superheroes or whatever.
Like, yeah.
Something weird. This is interesting because the next issue is a tie-in that kind of gives some context around. Like, this isn't part of the main series. This is a tie-in issue called A Good Day to Die.
The
Mr. Miracle, Big Barda.
Oh, I thought that was at the end. Okay.
No. So
I should have paid attention to
basically
that.
This is like a tie-in issue. Mr. Miracle and Barda go to visit Apocalypse, and they're like, well, this shit's exploded, so let's go back. Then they go to talk to Mr. Terrific, who's been working on a cure, but since the origin of the infection is gone, they meet with Blue Beetle and Booster Gold to figure out a different way. This is when Mr. Miracle brings in a veggie tray,
mm-hmm.
and I'm like, a little on the nose, but whatever. Mr. Terrific and the rest of them go to find Constantine to hopefully use his magic as a solution. And we first see Constantine like barely survive a chase of a bunch of zombies, and he has to kill his driver Chas. And Constantine's like no help to the cause, and so they resort to using Booster Gold's time machine stuff.
I think it was cool that Scott Derrickson did the Constantine pages.
Derek Robertson.
What did I say?
Scott Derrickson.
Yeah, Derek Robertson.
Yeah, he's great.
Yeah,
I think he's really good in this.
Yeah, he's the best.
Tom Taylor and Scott. Sorry.
Gotcha.
Tom Taylor and Derek Robertson. You just Bugs Bunnied me. Tom Taylor and Derek Robertson have like a Black Label Constantine book that I feel like is probably pretty good.
Duck season. Oh, they do have one.
Yeah.
Oh, that's probably why he did some film pages.
Yeah, that's probably why. I have like a signed like Constantine one from that run by him, but I've never read the book. So
we should do that with Sophia.
Yeah, I think she'd love it.
And then we'll review the movie.
Yeah.
I've never seen it.
It's her favorite movie.
That's crazy.
Isn't that crazy?
Do you have a favorite movie?
Hot Rod.
All right.
I want to get a Hot Rod tattoo.
Ooh. You know, I saw a Hot Rod tattoo and I was like, what was it? It was like the suit or something. It was like the helmet, I think.
Oh, helmet's a good one.
Yeah.
I want to get like three hand signs where it says too legit to quit. I think that'd be kind of cool.
Yeah. Or like just the motorcycle would be kind of cool.
Motorcycle would be cool. I've also thought about like when he summons like the spirits of different animals, or he does like a dolphin and like an eagle.
Bottlenose dolphin.
I think that'd be good. I've thought about this a lot. I want to try to figure out what I want to do.
I'll get it with you.
Oh, dude, yeah.
Sarah has been watching like Brooklyn Nine-Nine, and I feel like Andy Samberg just does the same, like...
He's the same guy.
Same comedy. Like,
I don't know, not in Palm Springs.
Well, no, like I'm saying just in Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Oh, yeah,
it feels
for
like
sure.
It's the same kind of comedy.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Love Hot Rod. Not as big of a fan of Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
What's cool is like I don't really know much about Constantine, but like when his driver like goes to like grab him, he has like these like fire in this fire in his eyes.
Yeah,
and like burns him up.
Yeah, really fucking cool.
And like, that's neat.
Yeah,
that's
helpful. It seems like he does like cool magic shit. So the team goes to get the time machine that Booster uses to go, because he's like originally from the future, right? And they have to fight off Fire and Ice, who he used to be on like the Justice League International with. Mr. Miracle and Barda die buying Mr. Terrific, Booster, and Beetle some time.
Can't they fly?
Who?
Big Barda and Mr. Miracle?
I don't think so.
Like, Mr. Miracle can like ride on his like disc
thing. He's got like a little disc thing to run on. I don't know if Barda can fly.
The thing I liked about this issue is that like Big Barda's helmet just gets bigger for some reason. Like, every time you see her.
I do love a Big Barda helmet.
Yeah.
So the time machine's being protected by Wave Rider, who's some dude that's trying to keep the timeline pure. Constantine like comes in to distract him because he like makes a different decision in his head. He decides to help. Booster Gold ends up getting erased from the timeline because they like lose the future somehow.
Yeah.
And then everyone gets infected. And then Dr. Fate and Zatanna grab Constantine to decide like what they should do next as like a bunch of magic users, right?
So when they're like talking to each other, like there's zombies like in the room and they're coming, but they like keep talking and the zombies like never get to them.
Yeah. That's what I was like,
what's happening?
Why are the zombies stopping all of a sudden?
Yeah.
I think I don't really understand the booster thing, but that moment is kind of cool.
So the future that he is from
is no longer like a thing now.
Yeah.
Because it's just a bunch of zombies now.
Right.
Okay. That makes sense.
And I love time travel shit. So like when that happened, I'm like, ooh, that's good stuff right there.
Yeah. I mean, the time machine's still there. Like you could probably figure out how to
use
it.
His time machine?
Yeah. Like it doesn't get destroyed, I don't think.
Oh, yeah. Possibly.
So like why can't Constantine just like do time
travel? No
time
one traveling? Knows where it's from.
The time machine?
The virus.
Oh, that's true. Oh, yeah. Because if you go back in time, it's just going to happen again. So pretty cool. But that was a tie-in issue. So we'll go into issue 5. Superman and Wonder Woman, they're still alive after the big explosion. They go to Metropolis. They find everything's been vaporized except for the Daily Planet roof where everyone is because it was protected by a big Green Lantern bubble, Daniel.
Finally comes in handy.
Yeah. Green Lantern?
Yeah.
I think it's been pretty handy so far.
It's funny that like she's also holding up the top half of the building.
Yeah, like you can put it down now.
Yeah, yeah. You're good. How long have you been holding that? Like,
that's what I was thinking. I was like, put it down. Or like, you didn't cover the whole building? So over the next few days, the League takes out every major like internet server and stuff. They try and just knock out the internet. They also increase the landmass around Themyscira to support a safe haven for a bunch of survivors.
So they get under the island and just lift it up.
It's very SpongeBob.
We take Bikini Bottom and push it somewhere else.
We take the land around Themyscira and push it up. I would have been okay if they were just like, Themyscira has room. We could just bring people here, you know?
What if it's like a standing desk and they just like push a button and it like rises a little bit?
Yeah, they have that technology. I like this moment where like Lex Luthor is on the Daily Planet building and he's like, they like put their differences aside between him and Superman. And he's like, what happened to our city, man?
Yeah.
I thought that was kind of nice.
The thing that they're bitching about.
Yeah. So Damian Wayne, who's now Batman, goes to Gotham and finds that Ivy and Harley Quinn have created like a vine sanctuary. And
All the best vines are there.
All the best vines. You got King Batch.
You got free Shavakadu.
Yeah. You got road work ahead.
I sure hope it does.
That's all of them. So many vine booms.
Yeah. You got that. Yeah.
You got old Bo Burnham vines. Remember those?
Yeah.
Those were
peak. You know what's better than pussy? A really good book.
That's like my favorite vine, I think.
It's the best one.
It's so funny. So Harley convinces Ivy to let the League use her like vine sanctuary thing as another safe haven for survivors. And then the heroes meet up at the Fortress of Solitude and create plans for like an Ark spaceship to leave the planet and find somewhere else habitable. Because they're like, this shit's cooked, so we got to leave. Like Lex Luthor is here as well, and he like throws a stray at Superman saying like, wow, imagine losing two homeworlds.
Yeah.
And I'm like, damn, dude.
And Lois just out. Fucking socks him.
Yeah, I do like that very much.
Good Lois moment.
They say that like these Ark ships will support millions of people, which is insane logistics.
And there's two of them.
There's two of them. How are you going to build it that big, first off? But like,
they got flashes.
Where do you put all the food? Where does everybody sleep?
Are there enough people?
How many bathrooms are there?
I imagine it's like a cruise ship.
Are there like rooms with beds in them? Or is people just like sleeping on the floor?
Probably floor.
What do they do for fun? Is there a basketball court in there?
Yeah, they got the slip and slide and the water park on the top.
They have one slip and slide.
Yeah.
That's all you get for entertainment.
They have a track on the top that goes all the way around.
Yeah. And then you have like one deck of cards.
They got bags.
Dude, they build a bags room. There's just like 50 sets of bags.
It'd be way easier to be the best bags player in the world.
Dude. Oh, true. When you knock out like 90% of the population.
Yeah.
So their construction of the Ark is interrupted by an infected Martian manhunter who like sneaks in because he like goes invisible or something. And then he infects the Flash, which is a big fucking GG. So the Flash starts running around like the world infecting people. So Superman has to like fly and catch up to him and cut him off. And he like flies through him to kill him. But doing this causes Superman to like get cut somehow. And he's, you know, become infected, but he hasn't turned yet. So Superman knowing
Flash
that
is like faster in my head.
He is faster. So, he, you know, I get that he can cut him off. But why does flying through him cut him? Because like there's like a finger or something in his side.
Like if you're Flash, you see him coming still.
Yeah.
And so you can get like a swing going.
I guess.
Before like he flies
so
through.
So that's
him.
Like strong enough to cut him, I guess?
Yeah, because it's just fingers in his side.
I guess that's true. Like he doesn't have
but
like,
also
he doesn't have like impenetrable
steel,
skin,
you know?
But
it's probably
I like to think that maybe
close.
He's like mid phase. Like you know how he could like phase through shit if he runs fast enough?
Oh, maybe.
So maybe he like phased through him just enough to like do that.
Yeah.
That's what I like to think.
There you go.
So Superman knowing that he's about to turn says goodbye to his family and he attempts to get as far as he can, but he doesn't end up getting very far before he turns infected. So
I thought that a Good Day to Die was like the last issue. Mm. And I thought this was the end of the trade. I'm like, ooh, what a great cliffhanger.
That is a good cliffhanger, but it is not. When Superman's like saying his goodbyes, he goes to Lois and he says, I crossed an ocean of stars and somehow I find you. And that's bars. I think that's a good sign.
You should put that in your vows.
But I haven't done that. It wouldn't make any sense. She'd be like, what? What are you talking about?
If you say it fast enough, no one will think twice.
Yeah, I got to put that in between like two other very nice things. So yeah. People just like, let's get past it.
You just got to wrap your vows.
Should I just have my vows all in like just comic book quotes?
Yeah.
So issue 6, last issue. Zombie Superman's a big problem. He starts destroying shit on Earth. So Cyborg tells everyone like, we need to go now. Like, I guess the arcs are ready, maybe. So Damian reveals that Batman had contingencies for Superman and gives kryptonite to Wonder Woman and she uses that with some magic to make a sword. A magic kryptonite sword. Pretty cool.
Cool idea.
And it is. Like the idea is like they're using both of Superman's weaknesses against him, but I don't really see much magic in this sword that they've created.
Is
you know?
Kryptonite like a metal?
It's like an element. I don't know if it'd be a metal.
It's like a,
it seems more like a crystal.
Like, yeah.
So like a diamond.
Can that be melted down to be a sword?
Sure.
Yeah.
So they send the two arcs to Gotham and Themyscira to gather survivors. And then Wonder Woman, Black Canary, Lantern, and Cyborg go to fight Superman. And this would like not be a quick task to load like even thousands of people onto an arc.
Yeah.
So I don't know if like Tom Taylor's ever like boarded a plane.
Yeah,
but that shit takes forever. So imagine having millions of people
there's
get
like
onto an arc.
It's like a couple like onboarding ramps. It looks like
that's absurd.
Yeah,
and like surely you'd have like Green Lantern follow and just pick up people in big boxes and throw them in there.
And
you
time
know?
Is like of the essence.
Yeah, like Superman's flying around right now. He'd
so
be here any second.
I feel like not everyone got on. You know.
Yeah, yeah, I agree. Also, it's weird that the arc design just looks like a big bomb. Like a big Looney Tunes bomb.
I figured it was like a blimp.
Yeah. Well,
but it does kind of look like a
nuke.
No,
it looks like this is what a nuke looks like. Like a Looney Tunes nuke. So I just think that's kind of an interesting design choice.
Yeah.
But they managed to get 6 million people onto the Ark from Gotham. Ivy and Harley both stay because Ivy wants to be with the Green and Harley just wants to be with Ivy.
It seems unlikely that there's that many survivors.
Yeah. How'd they all get to Gotham, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know what the population of Gotham is.
Probably like
what's the population of like Phoenix?
Like
isn't that like 10 million or something?
Like 7 million maybe?
1.6 million, dude. Are you telling me Gotham is 6 times the size of Phoenix?
Well, what's like New York's like population?
8.8.
Okay.
All right, you got me, Tom.
So they're saying 75% of people like survived?
I think it's like most people probably died and the heroes are getting people to Gotham.
Because if I see zombies, I'm going on my phone.
I'm like, what is Twitter like right now?
Yeah, I'm like, yo, take a video of this dude on bath salts or whatever.
I think the actual idea is that some people survived. Ivy made the safe haven, and then the rest of the surviving heroes are like constantly finding survivors and bringing them to either Themyscira or Gotham.
But that also seems hard because there's more infected than there are survivors, you know? So you have to like fight off infected while you're saving people.
Yeah, but I think some people figured out like the radio shit and they probably have some sort of system going on there.
Maybe.
Know? So I'm fine with there being 6 million people there, right? It's just absurd that they all get onto like a big blimp looking fucking ship. But anyway. Yeah. In Themyscira, their evacuation is interrupted by Aquaman on a big Kraken with his army of infected. But
great
he's
Kraken.
Such a confusing Kraken.
Yeah.
Like, what is this? This looks like something you'd see in Gears of War.
It looks like a kaiju from Pacific Rim, you know?
Yeah, it absolutely does. But Aquaman's quickly taken out by Green Arrow.
Dies like a bitch again.
He dies like a bitch again, yep. And then the Amazonian warriors fight off, like, the rest of the army. And then the survivors fly off. Wonder Woman, Green Lantern, and Cyborg fight Superman. It almost works. Because Superman like gets his arm chopped off by that Wonder Woman sword, but he kills Wonder Woman in the process, and then he flies off to go get the Ark that's in space.
So and this is where like the Green Canary like screams
this
into
is my favorite
the
part.
Into the construct.
It's so silly.
A loudspeaker.
She like to make a megaphone. Your voice is pretty loud already,
right?
Like notoriously, and she's like, "What if I had a megaphone?
What if I make it louder?
How,
yeah.
Like how much louder are you really getting?" I get why they did it now.
Yeah.
Tom Taylor had this one idea and he's like, you know what? I'm just going to make this.
How do I get there?
I'm going to set up the situation in the first issue and then we're going to just go from there. You know?
Do we need Hal? Not really.
Not really. He can't scream very loud. So I do like this idea. It's kind of funny to me. I also like the bitterness of Green Arrow not being on like Batman's contingency list. And so he like feel like he has to prove himself by like killing Aquaman.
Right.
I thought that was fun.
Wonder Woman like cuts off Superman's arm.
Yeah, pretty cool.
That's pretty cool.
I do like that.
Because like I never think that's like a possibility for like a Kryptonian to be dismembered.
Mm-hmm. But you know, there's nothing like stopping that either, especially with the Kryptonian sword. So
right.
Pretty cool idea. He kills Wonder Woman the way that he kills the Joker in Injustice.
Ooh.
And those are both written by Tom Taylor. I think he just likes that move.
I call that a like a Vulturemite kill.
Yeah.
Because that happens all the time in Invincible.
Yeah, that's fair. That's good. So knowing Superman is on the way, John Kent suits up to stop him and like meet him in space, which buys enough time for the entire Green Lantern Corps to step in and help.
A little late.
You're a little late to the party, dude. You have the entire Corps.
Yeah.
Like all just showing up right now.
Do they have like a fast travel or do they have to like just fly everywhere?
They have to just fly. I think you can get places pretty fast.
Yeah.
But like you'd think that the Guardians would be like, hey, Hal died and we have like a new Green Lantern person. Let's like talk to them because they could like talk to each other through that.
Right.
So you'd think that she'd be like, hey, can you help?
Right.
I just think that's a little silly. They're like, oh, thank God the whole thing's here. Anyway, Zombie Superman then makes the choice of flying into the sun to destroy all life on Earth instead, which like maximizes the amount of death that would happen because Earth would just become unlivable. And then the Ark and the Green Lantern Corps guide the survivors on the Arks to Earth 2, essentially.
Right.
And that's how this ends.
Mars.
I don't think so. It looks like an actual like Earth. And they're just going to call it, like, are they going to call it Earth 2? Because that seems like it'd be kind of morbid.
So are they traveling interdimensionally?
They're not traveling interdimensionally. They just found some place that's habitable. And I guess they just decided to call it Earth 2, which is a bad name, I feel like.
So we currently have not found another like planet to support human life.
Yeah, we haven't. But there's a bunch of Green Lanterns in space. They probably know of a place.
Yeah, maybe. But those are also like different sectors, which are different like galaxies and shit.
I don't think they care.
Or solar systems. Yeah, it's whatever.
There's a cool moment where Cyborg uses the Lasso of Truth to talk to like anti-life Wonder Woman. And she like talks back. I think it's kind of interesting.
Yeah. So I was confused by that because she was saying that the virus can be turned off and it's like within him.
Yeah.
Or something.
And then she like kills him.
Right.
So, you know, I don't know what the point of that is.
Hope?
Hope, I guess. But, like, if it's in him, then there's no hope now. So it's like, you're like, oh, there's a thing that you could do. And then he just, like, takes it away again.
The Earth wasn't, like, definitively blown up.
It will be, though. Because
it will be.
Superman flies into the sun, just takes away the heat, I think, and it'll just end up killing all life on Earth.
Oh, so. I thought he was just powering up to, like, blow up the Earth or something.
No.
Because he's still, like, powered by, like, solar energy.
He is, but I think he's, like, sucking off the sun to, like, he's draining the sun.
Yeah, he is. He's sucking it dry. And
so there's, like, other deceased stuff.
Right.
So I assume
they probably, like, expand on this.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot to expand on, I think, so it makes sense. I thought they were going to bring everybody like Oa, and I think that'd be kind of cool.
Yeah, that could work.
Yeah. But anyway, that's the end. There's like a couple million survivors, so that's probably enough to keep humanity alive. Pretty cool.
Pretty cool.
So let's go on to Back Matter Matters.
Back Matter Matters.
Dana, we finally have Back Matter.
Ooh.
It's been like 100 weeks in a row, I think, where we didn't have back matter.
I forgot what back matter was.
Yeah, I know. I was like, what is all these? And we get some covers. So we get the A covers were like these like zombified versions of each of the different characters.
By Francesco Mattia.
Yes.
Who does AI artwork, I guess.
He does?
He was like accused of it.
Oh, that guy. Is that him?
Yeah.
Whoa. And then
there was like a Superman cover.
This is like before AI was like a thing. So this seems pretty legit, I
guess. Was it?
I think. Wasn't it?
I don't know. This is what his covers usually look
DC's
like.
No, DC's came out in like
2019?
2017, I thought.
I don't know.
So, I don't know. These might be AI.
If you say.
Hopefully not. I do have this cover, though, because they did horror movie covers.
Ooh, pop quiz, Evan.
Pop quiz. What are each of these?
Yeah.
So we have this first one, which is an It reference.
Homage? Or homage, whatever.
We have the second one, which is Nightmare on Elm Street.
Correct.
So it's supposed to be like Freddy Krueger or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
We have this one, which is Sinister?
No.
Or like, I think I've seen this. No. The Exorcist.
No. What more recent.
More recent? Conjuring.
Close. That universe.
Annabelle.
The Nun.
I knew it was something religious. I don't know what this one is.
So that is Final Destination.
Really?
So I was going through these. No. I knew most of them, but mm-hmm. that one stumped me. I recognized it and I texted it to Dom. He's like, that's Final Destination, you moron. And I'm like, that's right.
I love how he's like your backup.
Yeah. Cause I like know what he knows, you know? So like I knew that he would know.
Oh, that's friendship.
You know what I mean? Yeah. What about this next one?
Dude. Cloverfield?
No.
I don't know what this is.
So this is The Curse of La Llorona.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. I don't know what this one is. Detective Chimp is like a zombie.
I really had to fucking dig to figure that out.
Did you find it?
Yeah. So that's from a movie called Critters.
Ooh.
It's kind of a stretch as far as it being like an homage.
Right.
But the font is what kind of like gives it away.
Yeah, I'd say that's... I mean, it's a stretch for sure.
Yeah.
This one's The Conjuring.
That's correct.
So I know that. The tree.
Deceasing.
The deceasing is funny. And then, so those covers are very fun.
I love a homage, especially horror movie homage.
Dude, horror covers. Movie is such a good idea.
Because
like the hip hop ones were so good. They need to just do everything. Everything that's possible to,
all
for you
homages,
to do that with.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's good. Like Disney's doing like the... Fucking Mickey Mouse is like a...
For comic covers?
Yeah, for comic covers. I think that's cool, too.
Yeah, definitely.
And then I think this might be a back matter first for us, but we have the like original pitch and series outline kind of deal for this.
We've had some pitches.
Have we?
Yeah.
This is like, I guess, what Tom Taylor submitted to like pitch this series, which is kind of cool. So, I mean, it kind of goes into basically like the main beats of the first issue, what the concept kind of is, and then just like... He kind of just like throws out ideas that he's had for like the rest of the series, and not all of it happens, which is kind of cool. So like he had the idea that like Green Lanterns come to quarantine the planet, but like that doesn't ever happen. He just like makes them go off somewhere else.
Mm-hmm. So that wouldn't even like do anything.
Yeah. I mean, it'd stop it from like leaving and infecting other sectors.
Zombies.
The anti-life equation.
Hmm.
So
Yeah.
What would you rate this book, Daniel?
Ooh, I haven't thought about that. Do you have a rating?
No, let's think. You know how in like Zombieland, how that one dude's looking for a Twinkie the whole time?
Yeah.
Is that something? I haven't thought of anything.
It's a Twinkie you'd go to get after watching Zombieland?
Yes. I like that.
Okay, okay.
That's how I'd rate this book.
I give it the New York pizza that Lupita Nyong'o's character in A Quiet Place Day One, the one that she ends up getting.
Yeah, so it's not like what you were looking for specifically.
Right.
But it is a pizza.
Or what you thought it'd be, but it does get like the job done.
Yeah.
And
wow.
It's still good because pizzas are good for a couple days, you know?
I'm impressed by this rating because I feel like it's very relevant to how you feel about the book.
It's also, yeah, it's also horror themed, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
So
I like this quite a lot. I think it's fun.
So. Yeah, it's cool. I'm a sucker for zombie stuff.
Yeah.
It's just like I love stuff that's, you know, the one artist, one writer.
Totally.
You know, at least like Tom Taylor did everything, especially the spinoff thing, which is, I feel like, is kind of rare sometimes.
Yeah.
And there is like good art in here, but just like when it's inconsistent, it just kind of can bother me.
Yeah,
but
that's fair.
Anyway, let's go into the poll list, colon.
Shove it in your box.
The poll list, what did you shove in your box?
What'd you pick up today?
Oh my God, so much stuff.
It's Daniel. A thick week this week.
I picked up The Missionary, number one, by Ryan Stegman and that dude he's working with on that. It's the distillery book.
Yeah.
It's, I forget the artist's name. He's good though.
Yeah.
The Manchurian one, which is Pornsak Pachaisot's new series with the Dodsons. So pretty excited about that.
Okay.
Saga.
69.
69, baby.
I bet there's nothing but sex in that.
Hopefully. Picked up Zatanna, number four.
Mm-hmm.
The Moon is Following Us. I picked that up this week.
Good.
Uncanny X-Men, number three.
Mm-hmm.
And then I found a Sex Criminals, number one, that I picked up
at some point
this week. At my card shop that I go to play Magic the Gathering sometimes.
Is it like a card shop that has comics?
Yeah.
Okay.
And like good comics.
Nice.
Which is very surprising to me.
Do they have weeklies or just like kind of...
They have weekly issues, but they don't have a huge like archive of like comics or like long boxes.
Mm-hmm.
I guess they do have a fair amount. Like it'd probably be about the amount that you and I have combined, I guess.
Okay.
So pretty good. But like they're... collectible, like in the glass case type shit, is pretty good.
Nice.
Like I sent you that picture. They have the JLA Avengers hardcover,
like the omnibus, or
the
like...
omnibus one, like the one that just recently got reprinted.
Nice.
So they have that, so they're like in the know. They know it's good. There's like some,
I think that sold out pretty quickly.
There's like a Matt Fraction David Aja number two, like Hawkeye, that's like $15.
It's not bad.
Yeah, so I was like, I wonder if Dana would like this.
You didn't get a Wolverine Revenge number two?
I don't know if I saw that, so it was probably sold out. I went kind of late today.
What about Frankenstein number two?
I forgot to get issue one on that, so I might just get it digitally.
You didn't get Creepshow?
I saw that, but I looked at how much I had in my fucking hands at that time, and I was like, I gotta make some cuts.
Sure.
Even though it is a Zdarsky book, and he's the GOAT, I was just like not in the mood for a Creep Show at that moment. So
I think Spawn Kills Every Spawn number three came out.
Okay. Missed that as well.
There's Knights versus Samurai number one.
Dude, I saw that and Todd McFarlane isn't doing, he's not like even a part of that book.
Yeah. I don't know where that came from. Maybe he's just
like, they made it when they pitched, they were like, me and Todd McFarlane are doing a thing.
Right.
And then I saw just wasn't him. He's not even like an editor or anything on this book. Hmm. He's just like doing a cover. I don't know. So I was like, nah.
Yeah. And then Remote Space number four came out today.
Nice.
I have one through three, so I might as well get four. And that's the last one of that one.
Cool.
So I hope I like it.
Yeah, hopefully.
Did you read anything?
I did not have time to read anything this week.
Cool. I read Wolverine Revenge number one.
Oh, nice.
Did you read that?
I did.
Pretty good.
Pretty good. A little different than I initially thought it was going to be.
Yeah.
I didn't know what I was expecting, but... You know, kind of interesting situation.
Yeah. Hickman isn't yapping as much, which I appreciate.
It is a non-yap Hickman, which is my favorite Hickman.
It is a really good art by Greg Capullo. I don't know if I'll keep going. I'll see how big my stack is.
Yeah.
But and then I read Jenny Sparks, which is that Tom King Authority solo series. It's got Jeff Spokes on art, and that dude is a top tier artist.
Really?
He's very good.
Cool.
It's like Clayman like esque.
Oh wow.
Okay. Like as far as like what it looks like and how good it is. Jenny Sparks, she's like in LA and she like polices metahumans.
Okay.
In a way. And Captain Atom, he like goes crazy.
Like the Captain Atom in this?
Yes.
Oh, cool.
He's going crazy. He kills Jenny Sparks.
Ooh.
And I'm like, oh, whoa. What do you mean?
The end.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
And then happens? Then he goes to a bar and takes everyone in the bar hostage. And throughout the issue, like, they're showing, like, everyone's day of the people who end up in that bar at the end of the night.
Oh, okay.
Which is, like, kind of neat.
Yeah, I like that.
A bit of yapping, you know, but...
You know.
And Jenny Sparks is back, and she's going to... save everyone in the bar.
How is she back?
I don't know her powers really. I guess she can come back from dying and that's having good. A broken neck.
Good for her.
Yeah. So pretty good. I might get number two.
Wow.
Yeah. I liked it. It was cool.
That's biggest praise.
Yeah, I know. I read Zatanna, Bring Down the House, number one.
All right.
That you gave to me and you forced me to read it.
You forced you to read it.
Like, Daniel, read this or else I'll shoot you.
I read issue 3 and I was jazzed about it. So I was like, you should read this.
Yeah.
What'd you think?
Killer art.
Amazing.
It's the best way to do a comic about someone you don't really care about.
Exactly.
And I'm like, wow, this looks great. Like, great page layouts.
Oh, yeah.
And stuff like that.
So
colors
fun.
Are awesome. Not too much yapping.
Not too much yapping.
Really good flow.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it's good stuff.
I'm super into it. I'm really excited to read issue 4.
Sweet, sweet. So, did you watch it?
I liked it. I watched The Penguin.
Ooh,
the first issue of the first episode of The Penguin.
What'd you think?
It's great.
It's very good.
Dude, he is electric as the Penguin, dude. I just love hearing him talk.
He's dialed in.
He's talking about moitas and shit, you know? And I just like, anytime he says something that he just like says it funny in like that, you know, old timey gangster noir voice, I just have to like repeat it like out loud because it's so fun to say. But I fucking loved this, dude.
He's like, why don't you look for your sense of humor? It's around here somewhere.
Like, yeah, he's just like, it's so fun to just hear him talk.
Yeah.
And I think they did so good with that the whole time. Mm-hmm. And he's really good at like talking himself out of like situations.
Yeah.
He has to do it like multiple times here. And it's like very fun to listen to.
At first, I'm like, he's not great at this. And then like at the end, I'm like, oh, he did good with that.
Yeah. He can think on his toes pretty quickly, but he can't stand on his toes because he's got a fucked up foot. Did you see that?
That was gross.
I was like, ew, dude, cut away. I could see why he hobbles.
I watched it twice, actually.
Whoa.
First time I was super zooted, so I didn't remember what happened. I'm like, did I watch that? And so I rewatched it. I'm like, oh, yes, I remember everything, but this kind of glued it together.
Yeah. I really like Kristen Milioti's character. Yeah. Is that her name?
Yeah. I don't know, but I think so.
That sounds right.
Yeah, she's awesome.
Arkham Lady. I think she steals every scene that she's a part of.
Mm-hmm.
She seems fucking batshit crazy.
Yeah.
But in like that subtle way where you're like, I don't really know what she's thinking, but I know it's not good.
I liked her yell at the end, her scream. I like
her yell at the end's good.
Yeah.
That like torture tactic she had with like the fucking cable. I'm like, that looks like it hurts.
Ooh, yeah, like the barbed wire.
It does not seem fun.
I'm like, ooh, no, that's the worst.
Yeah, I know. I was like, ugh. So yeah, super fun. I'm really excited
for Clancy Brown was in this.
Dude, Clancy Brown is fucking killer.
I was like,
I
love Clancy Brown.
Dude, fucking Mr. Krabs, dude. Motivated by money.
Yeah.
He's awesome. He's very...
It's like after an unsuccessful like Krusty Krab, like Mr. Krabs goes into life of crime.
Yeah. This is Mr. Krabs because like he didn't want to pay like tax evasion.
Yeah. That's when someone steals the secret formula.
Yeah. I love Clancy Brown. He's always been like a pretty good like villain because he's in like the Gen V stuff, right?
Yeah,
he's in a sinister looking dude. He's in
Dexter.
He's in Dexter.
He's in like the revival series of Dexter.
Oh, really? Cool.
Yeah,
he's really good in like Starship Troopers, even though it was like forever ago.
Mm-hmm.
I love seeing him outside of SpongeBob, but then
a lot of voice acting.
But I always think of just Mr. Krabs whenever I see him on the screen, and I think I'll get past it with this. But
that was a part of the show. I'm like, fuck yeah,
dude! I love seeing him do shit.
And he's like awesome. A character that'll like be around.
Yeah,
he's like Sal Maroni.
He's coming back. So,
yeah,
pretty cool. I don't really understand. I guess the big drug in this is like eye drops.
It's called drop.
Drop.
or drops or whatever.
Yeah.
I don't think it's actually eye drops, but I think they just call it drop.
Well, you take it by as like eye drops.
Oh, you do?
Yeah, that's how you like do drugs. Because like the dude that Penguin kills, he's like, he like relapses by doing them. Right. So
I thought you just had glassy eyes.
I don't know if that I don't know if that's like a real drug, but it's the first I've heard of it.
I don't think so.
It might. I don't know.
Maybe.
But yeah, really good. I'm really excited for the rest of it.
Yeah, definitely.
Like I knew it was probably gonna be good, but I was like really happy with this still. So
yeah, it doesn't quite look like the Batman, but I'm kind of glad it doesn't.
Not everything is as flooded as I thought either.
Yeah. It's not like super red, which is like what I think of when I think of like the Batman.
I don't think of everything as super red.
Mostly I'm just thinking of the cover, like the poster or something. Or
the poster's
like,
very red, and like the end of the movie is really red because he's carrying the flare or whatever. But right. Most of that movie's not red. So
okay, I need, probably need to rewatch that.
Yeah.
But yeah, good stuff.
I don't know. How did they clear the water? That's what I want to know.
Because they're
driving around a bunch.
I think they're still working on that.
I think it just like went down the drain. Does it work like that?
I think it's only in certain parts because maybe Gotham's not like built for floods. You know, kind of like Arizona.
True.
There's always flash flood warnings. I'm like, it just rained a little bit.
But thank God we're not surrounded by fucking water with like these walls.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, really fun.
I watched a movie called Challengers.
Oh, nice.
The new Zendaya movie. It's on Prime.
About tennis, and it's really sexy.
It is. Made me kind of care about tennis.
Oh.
In a way. And I do not care about tennis. But it's like, it's not like about tennis, you know?
Yeah, it's about sex.
Kind of.
Kissing boys.
Yeah, this movie just has like a ton of energy, and like that's the pacing is like kick ass.
Yeah,
and it's got this score that's like incredible.
Really,
like, every time like the theme comes on, you're like, "Let's go, baby!"
You really? Know? Oh wow, I didn't hear about that.
It's like movie, but the people who did the score, the people who did like The Social Network.
Okay,
you know, like The Social Network, like won like the Oscar I think that year
for score.
Yeah, for. The score.
I don't remember any score from Social Network, but I haven't seen that movie in a while.
Oh, I think I see clips, and so it's more prevalent to me. But once you hear it, you're like, oh, yeah.
You okay, know? Cool.
But anyway, really good score. There's so much slow motion in this, you would hate it. You hate the slow motion in this.
Is there slow motion walking?
I don't know.
I'm cool with slow motion.
Okay.
I mean, I do get pissed off there's now slow when there's
motion,
too much.
There's slow motion looking at stuff.
Oh, I do it. Slow motion. Look
like
at
the
stuff.
Last.
Just look at stuff at normal speed, dude.
Like the last, like the third act, like the last scene or whatever. I feel like could have been 5 minutes, but it's like 15 minutes because there's so much slow motion and build up.
You've just put me off of this movie.
And everything that you like know is going to happen happens, but just happens in slow motion. So like.
Why?
I don't know. That was like my least favorite part of the movie.
Wow. I think you just put me off from seeing that movie.
It's still very good. It's like
I probably like it.
It's like good enough for me to like recommend to like mom and dad.
Ooh.
Because I'm like, I feel like they would just take this. Yeah, yeah. I don't recommend like anything to them. So So yeah, the ending was a little tedious. And then I watched Howard the Duck.
The movie. Nice.
Yeah.
The George Lucas one?
George Lucas's follow-up to
Star
Return
Wars.
Of the Jedi.
Or yeah, Return of the Jedi.
Once he got like, the name and the
this
budget.
This is the next big thing. Everybody loves like, ducks right now.
He's like, finally, I can do my passion project.
We got.
Which is Howard the Duck.
We got Donald Duck and Daffy Duck. Why not Howard? He said.
Yeah.
I hear that movie's a trip.
It is something. I think it's probably true to like what the comics are, which are like kind of bizarre and like
yeah, he,
adults like and stuff.
Dating a supermodel and making sex jokes or whatever, right?
So he's friends with Leah Thompson. Who is like the mom in Back to the Future. This is like something that she did like after Back to the Future.
Cool. Everyone's making bangers right after their first bangers.
Right. And so she's like musician in Cleveland or something. And so she's not like a supermodel or anything. But there is like a scene where like Howard like takes like a pass at her. And then she's like, okay, maybe. And I'm like, what the fuck is about to happen?
He has such upsetting eyes too.
Yeah,
I've seen the movie.
I mean the costume for Howard is like kind of cool. I think it like looks like decent enough.
Yeah,
for the time, I guess. So this movie is rated PG, right?
Yeah.
And what happens at the beginning is like Howard the Duck's on Duck World or whatever, and there's some beam that like grabs him and then pulls him to Earth. And as he's pulled, he's like pulled and he's ripped out of like his apartment building, goes to another one, and then he smashes through like a. Apartment where there's like a female duck in the bath and you see some duck titties.
No way.
Yeah. I'm like, what is this rated?
That's crazy.
And it was like the one moment in the movie when like Sarah's watching what I'm watching. And she sees duck tea. She's like, what are you watching? I'm like, I don't know. I didn't know this was going to happen. And it's bizarre.
That's so funny.
Look up Howard the Duck Ducktees.
Okay. I'm going to be put on a list, dude. Wait, what do you think the Rotten Tomato scores?
Audience or like...
Let's do both.
I would say critics is probably like 20. In audience, I think it's kind of like a cult classic kind of thing. Like maybe some people like it.
I don't think so. I've never heard anybody talk about this movie.
I'm going to guess like 38.
Dude, you nailed the audience score. It's really? 38.
Oh my God.
Tomato meter is 13. So you're pretty close
13.
There too.
13. Yeah. Wow. Okay.
Damn. That's crazy.
Yeah. Like
I think you've gotten pretty close every time I've asked you that question.
I think I like Rotten Tomatoes. Like I think like normally when I see some ratings, it's like what I think about movies for the most part. Like yeah. Audience scores at least.
Okay. How are the duck movie duck boobs? Oh my God. Wait, they cut it off.
You can find it.
Oh no. They censored it. What the fuck? Hold on. I gotta,
do you have safe search on?
I don't know. I don't think so. How do I turn that off? Oh, off. No, it's off. How do I find the uncensored version? I guess I have to watch the movie.
Yeah, it's like the first scene. So if you want to see some duck titties.
I kind of do.
I think it's on Amazon. And you can it's on Prime right now.
Okay.
So.
Oh, like, so I can like watch it for free?
Yeah, if you have Prime.
Wait, does it have the pedophile dude in it?
It does, yeah.
No way.
He's like the villain.
That's crazy. He's a villain in real life too.
Yeah.
Damn. That's crazy. That's funny that you watched this movie.
I started on the plane, but I didn't finish it. And so I finished it like the other day.
Did you see the duck titties on the plane? You're like, maybe not this one.
Yeah. I was like, whoa.
That's insane.
Yeah.
George Lucas is like, listen, I'm a visionary. Okay.
This is a banger. Yeah.
We need some duck titties.
It's like
here.
The comics or whatever. And right. So this movie had like a $37 million budget and it made $16 million domestically. So okay. Big flop.
I think it like bankrupted a certain company too.
George Lucas, he had to make up the money. And so he sold half of like Skywalker Ranch.
Mm.
And that ended up, and he sold it to Steve Jobs, which then became Pixar.
So we have the duck titties as a thing for that?
Yes.
Whoa.
indirectly, yes.
And like the dominoes, it's just like Star Wars, and then in the middle it's duck titties, and then at the end it's like Cars, you know?
Yeah.
That's so crazy.
It's kind of long. It's like an hour and 50, but it feels long. Like there's like sequences that just last too long.
I bet, yeah.
And
that's funny.
But at the end, when, you know, the musician girl is like playing the Howard the Duck song, mm-hmm. which is like shockingly catchy. Howard the Duck, he comes in, he does a guitar solo.
Whoa.
And it's crazy.
It sounds like you're just making all of this up.
I could be.
This sounds like a movie you would make up. Nice.
And so yeah, I watched that. I don't recommend it. I gave it like 2 stars.
I want to watch it more than Challengers.
There's... So like it's like weird in some parts I just didn't like, but there also is some stuff like this is pretty good, you know. I like I see what like
there's you can see what the concept
George Lucas was like going for, you know.
God, so bizarre.
Oh, Tim Robbins is in this, like a young Tim Robbins of Shawshank Redemption fame.
Oh wow.
Yeah, anyway, I'm like glad I saw it, you know. It's kind of like one of those things I'm like, I'll watch this one day.
I will watch that movie one day.
I think I just wanted to watch something weird, and that definitely checked the box. So.
Okay, nice.
Anyway, Nathan, what are we going to read next week?
What are we going to read next week?
I don't know. You said you had an idea, and you didn't tell me what it was. And you refused to tell me what it was.
I read it by you. I think it's a good idea. So, what if we do Kiss versus the Army of Darkness?
I mean, Kiss has not led us astray so far.
That's what I'm saying. Army of Darkness, kind of fun.
I still like, you know, every Army of Darkness book we've read has also not led us astray.
How many have we read?
Army of Darkness and Marvel Zombies.
Is that the only one?
I think it's the only one, yeah.
Yeah.
Fuck it.
Yeah?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay.
Kiss versus Army of Darkness.
I think that's fun.
Did we do the Kiss zombie one?
I think we did that like our first year.
Was that last year? No, it wasn't our first year.
It was a couple years ago. Like two years ago.
That book is like still one of the best books we've ever read.
Definitely.
Yeah, let's do it. Kiss versus Army of Darkness.
Hell yeah.
I love that.
I'm going to try and catch up on like Evil Dead movies, like the old ones at least.
I will never watch them.
I watched like the first one. And so there's just like...
Is it called Kiss versus...
It's a Kiss / Army of Darkness.
Is it going to have Ash in it?
Mm-hmm.
Does he become a
he
Kiss?
Gotta.
Oh, on the cover, he's got the Kiss makeup.
Nice.
Wow.
That's a good sign.
Hell yeah. This should be good. What a wild crossover. Sweet.
That's close enough for me.
That's what we'll read next week. Something insane. Not necessarily horror.
Army of Darkness is horror.
I guess.
Deadites, dude. Pretty scary.
True. There's probably going to be some scary stuff in there. So, all right.
I wouldn't expect it to be like a scary book, but there's like horror characters.
Ideas. You know, I think it's fine because like horror movies aren't always like scary and sometimes the campiness of it is what's fun, you know?
Yeah. I love a horror comedy.
Yeah.
You know?
All right. So, thanks everybody for watching or listening.
Yeah.
Or both.
Linktree in the bio. Like, comment, subscribe. Stuff like that.
Yep.
Follow.
Tell us your favorite zombified superhero.
Yeah.
Tell us your favorite Howard the Duck thing.
Have you seen Howard the Duck, the movie?
Yeah. Tell me how it is. Should I watch it now?
If it's got a How Did This Get Made episode, that's how you know it might be like kind of bad. But
did Howard the Duck have that?
Yes.
I haven't ever listened to that podcast.
It's a great podcast.
That's what I've heard.
There's tons of movies that like I don't know.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to watch them just because they had like an episode.
I'll probably just like look up a list of the hits. Like the hit episodes, you know?
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Or just listen to whatever I am familiar with.
They did Madam Web.
Oh.
Yeah.
Nice.
That was fun.
It's probably a good one.
So, yeah. Alrighty. Kiss Army of Darkness. We'll talk at you next week.
Yep. I'm sure you look forward to it.
All right.
Bye-bye. All right, bye.